It's like when you're a blogger like that, you can't really go places and the whole room doesn't shift when you walk in the door. And I don't like to be the elephant in the room. Like, yeah. I'm very low key. I don't want nobody to know when yes. I'm walking in places. And so that was hard for me. I felt like people started to get my direct number. And so I was getting calls all hours of the night. Like, it was a 24-hour tip line. Like, I've had death threats.
What?
Yeah, I remember going to a BMI concert, and I had shared a office with my publicist. As soon as I walked out to go to this award show, someone called her and said, "Tell Nicole she's dead."
Say she calling, it can't come to work.
Oh, that's ghetto.
It's the fifth, deadline was the first.
Oh, that's ghetto.
Payroll due again, pockets hurt.
Oh, that's ghetto.
Good idea, now we buying merch.
Oh, that's ghetto.
Payment missed.
Ooh, the ghetto.
Say she quit.
Ooh, the ghetto.
Late on your rent.
Rent is ghetto.
New event.
Ooh, the ghetto.
Invoice in.
It ain't ghetto.
Money spent.
Oh, that's ghetto. Hold on, it's kind of ghetto being a CEO.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ghetto CEO Podcast, where we talk about all things being a CEO, because honestly, y'all, being a CEO can be super ghetto sometimes, but honestly, we wouldn't trade it for the world. But we got to talk about the lows, and we got to talk about the highs. We got to talk about the ups and the downs, because if y'all just look at what's happening on these social media streets, they'll have y'all thinking that you just need an LLC and a dream, and that's all you need. But no, we come here and tell you the real stories behind being a CEO, and today is no different, y'all. We are bringing a CEO to this couch. But before we do that, before I tell you who my special guest is today, I want you guys to make sure that you are tapped into our co-workers community, because you can't do this journey alone. What I found out on this journey, that community is the cheat code. You need somebody on your left and your right. So you need to join our co-workers community so you can stay tapped in. Now, back to this guest. She is a powerhouse in herself. I told her before we got started, I was like, girl, this is season 3 that we about to talk about. But welcome to the couch, Miss Nicole.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, I am excited because we got to talk about 3 seasons of the CEO journey. But tell them who you are and how you got to this, how you got to the couch.
Well, my name is Nicole Kane, and I am the founder of My Happy Flow. We are a brand helping women achieve pain-free, symptom-free periods with our all-natural supplements. But I'm most known for my journey of being a celebrity gossip blogger. I had the website NicoleBitchy.com, which was one of the top entertainment news sites in the world.
Yes.
And after I ran that site for 7 years, I transitioned into a site called Exo Nicole, which became one of the leading women's lifestyle and empowerment sites for women of color.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And okay, we got to talk about all of these journeys, right? Mm-hmm. But thinking about the ghettoest thing that you've had to go through as a CEO in one of these journeys, what do you think, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I think one of the first things that come to mind is getting sued for $1 million for posting pictures of Beyonce on my website that weren't licensed. We didn't know about licensing back then.
Gotcha.
So, you know, when you used to see entertainment blogs and they would post pictures on our sites, we weren't paying for the pictures at first. We were just posting them and then talking about it. But over time, those people who took the pictures were losing money, because if it's showing up on blogs, they get less money for it from a magazine or whatever. So they started getting someone to collect their coin. And so I got sued for $1 million. I probably settled for maybe 70 or 80K, which is still a coin.
Yes. Unexpected coin.
Unexpected. For a long time, I could not go to a Beyonce. And it wasn't her fault. But I couldn't listen to a Beyonce song. I couldn't go to a Beyonce concert. I couldn't get excited about nothing Beyonce. Because I'm like, girl.
My money.
And it was during the time she was pregnant with Blue, too. So,
Yeah, it was like, it's a little resentment.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let me tell you. Yeah.
Listen, I can understand that, though. And I think a lot of times there are things that come into our entrepreneurship journey that are literally hooks. Like, we didn't expect it to happen.
Yeah.
And so with that, so how did you come back from that?
It was a very trying time for me, because at the same time, I was going through IRS issues. Like, when I first started my website, like, now I think there's way more information about financial literacy. When I started my website, LLC, but I'm also not splitting my money and the company's money. And so, you know, ended up with business managers that weren't great. And I got with a really great one named Humble. That's really well known in Hollywood. He has celebrities like Issa Rae and Charlamagne and Yara under his belt and some of the top NFL and NBA players. And he transitioned me to his firm, but he came back to me and was like, you know, your old firm, the last 5 years, they've prepared your taxes, but they haven't filed them.
Wait.
So, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, now I'm 5 years behind in taxes. He's trying to figure out how to catch me up.
Yeah.
And I have this, and then this lawsuit comes like maybe a few weeks later. Like I felt when I said I felt like it was the end of the world. I felt like it was the end of my world.
And now we're sitting here now to know that that was like part one of the journey. Like in that, in your mind, at that time, you was probably like, nigga, this it.
It's it. Yeah. Like something got to be better than this. Yeah. And still having to run a company knowing like you got to pay for this lawsuit. You have to pay these back taxes. Yeah. And then you have more income coming in. So there's other taxes that are going to be accumulated.
Yep.
It was a hot mess.
Listen, I feel like when it be being ghetto, everything comes at one time.
One time. Yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's not an increment.
Yeah, it's trying to test your tolerance, I guess, or like if you really want to be in this game.
Yes. Okay, so you went through the IRS issue. Of course you got out of it. Is
Girl,
this?
Have I?
I don't know if I have.
Listen,
we still here. Just leave that over there? I'll be back, y'all. We're going to start this whole other business. So what did that look like? Like, did you, was that the point that you decided to close the blog down or?
Oh, no. That was around the time like I really started blowing up.
Okay.
Because I started doing interviews and showing my face. And so I started being more visible too.
Okay.
so yeah, I kept it going with all this
lingering.
Yeah. In the background, right. Bubbling in the background. Yeah. And what was your question? Like what happened?
So what made you transition to the next, like EXO Nicole? Like what was?
I mean, so many things. Like, you know, being a blogger was like fun. You know, I don't, you know, Rihanna had her 777 tour where she went to 7 countries in 7 days. And she took a bunch of people. I think I was one of the only bloggers on that plane.
Mm.
We on a plane going to 7 countries in 7 days,
wow.
7 cities.
Wow.
Something like that. 777. And then it turned into a Fox. It turned into some special. I mean, it was just so many fun trips and all this other stuff. But I didn't, like, my spirit wasn't really at peace. Like, when you're a blogger like that, you can't really go places and the whole room doesn't shift when you walk in the door.
Mm.
And I don't like to be the elephant in the room. Like, I'm very low-key. I don't want nobody to know when I'm walking in places. And so that was hard for me. I felt like people started to get my direct number. And so I was getting calls all hours of the night, like it was a 24-hour tip line. I've had death threats.
What?
Yeah, I remember going to a BMI concert, and I had shared a office with my publicist. As soon as I walked out to go to this award show, someone called her and said, "Tell Nicole she's dead," and hung up. And so she's like, "I just walked out of the office," so she.
Freaking out.
Yeah, and she didn't know, like, whether to call me, whether to call the person that was with me.
Yeah.
So just so many crazy things, and I just, like I said, I had no peace. It was hard to date. Who's going to date a celebrity?
Right. But, you know, it's so crazy to even think about that because, like, you in that, like, I just would love to been a fly on the wall in you in that season because, Nicole, you are, like, such a very quiet person. Like, very calm, cool, collected, you know, and like the thought of what probably the perception of what you were was not the reality.
Yeah. And I think honestly, back then I wore my hair really big, blonde, curly hair. So like, it's almost like I put on a mask or a costume because I had to have this look that was branded because I was someone that was so quiet. I wasn't her. So I was trying to walk in a room and look the part, even though I wasn't what people perceive me as.
And you know, one thing that I realized on, especially as I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs that have a, like they're the talent. Have you been completely isolating yourself in business? Like, you don't have people that you could do this business with. Well, you need coworkers. And that is why we created the Entrepreneurs Coworkers Community. This allows you to be able to develop relationships with other people in your community. So in the Entrepreneurship Coworkers Community, we have a complete Slack channel where you get to talk to other CEOs just like you. We give you a quiz to find out who you are and what type of CEO you are. And in this quiz, you get to meet other CEOs that may be more creative or traditional or hybrid. We have these CEOs there for you. But even taking it up a notch, we have local chapters in your city, from Atlanta to Dallas to New York to Houston to Chicago, chapters in your city where we're actually linking up every single month to work together, linking up to go to brunch together, having fun together, doing community service outreach. Like, this is a section of our life where we can really co-work and mingle with other people. It's time for you to get some coworkers, sis. And this community is completely free. Just because you're watching this podcast, all you have to do is stop, pause the podcast, click the link below, take the assessment, get in the community, and I'll see you there. Bye, coworker. Back to the episode. As well as the business, that a lot of us have this dual personality, this Sasha Fierce, you know?
Yeah.
And so do you feel like that was your extra, like that was the other version of you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going back to business, like I had the opportunity to meet the guys from EYL briefly, you know, Earn Your Leisure. And I noticed they're the talent. They have a CEO. Mm-hmm. They have a COO. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they're able to grow so big, so fast and do all the things where if you, a lot of people are, like you said, the talent, but they're the CEO, the COO, the CMO, the every O, the every C there can be. And it gets to a point where you burn out or you reach your ceiling because you can't grow when you're doing all the things.
Yes. Okay. So now we transitioning into the XO Nicole phase, right? So now you like, what was that pivotal moment where it's like, okay, I can't do this no more. Like, did you just drop it? Was it like?
Can't do Nicole Bitchy?
Yeah.
Oh, I started preparing myself. I went on a date with a guy and I was listening to him talk and he was living in his purpose. Mm. And at the time, like when people used to ask me what I did, I would always pause before telling them.
Yeah.
And that like, if you are not proud to talk about what you do, you may not be living in your purpose. So I saw a friend of mine put on TikTok, like, I hate when I'm on a date and they ask me what I do for a living. Mm. And in my mind, if you have an issue with that, I don't feel like you're living in your purpose. Thanks. Like, I feel like you should be proud. He was, you know, he was a basketball coach, but he mentored men and just the way he was so passionate about what he did. And I was like, I want that passion.
Yeah.
And I want to be in this world serving people and feeling like I'm giving back to the world in a positive way. And so I moved to Arizona like a few months later.
Arizona.
I used to hear Oprah talk about Oprah, Bevy Smith, all these really high level people used to always go to Arizona. Like, I was like, I don't know what's out there, but
I need the sauce.
I need to figure out what's out there.
Yes.
Something's out there.
Fact.
And so I think I moved out there without even really even knowing what I was stepping into. And I moved to Scottsdale, Arizona. And I was like, because I felt like I had to get away from the entertainment cities like New York and LA. I was bouncing back and forth, but I was always around people that was going to hold me to this perception of what they had of me. Mm. So it's hard to transition when you got all these people in your ear, like, how are you going to stay relevant?
Yeah.
You know, that was the main question every time I said I was going to move to Arizona. How are you going to stay relevant? Mm. And my thing is, if not I'm not
knowing in the back of your mind, you like, I don't want to be relevant.
That part. If I'm not relevant for the right reasons, I don't want to be relevant at all. And so moved to Arizona, and that's where I connected with a woman. It was almost like she was my accountability partner. Mm. And we picked a date, which I think at the time it was, when I connected with her, it was in January. My date was July or June. I can't remember. And so from there, I knew I had to start getting myself prepared. And I realized I wanted to transition into another website because that's all I knew at the time. Yeah. So that was kind of like an easier transition, but let's just do something positive. I think the weekend of Essence Weekend came and I was like, I ain't vlogging through another award show weekend. I'm not blogging through another Essence Fest.
Yes.
And I remember typing my letter up that morning, like, I got to get this letter on the website. It was like I quit. Like, I can't. I need, and it was a very public thing. Like, I put the letter up, like, I think it was titled, "It's Time for Me to Move On."
Period.
That was my last blog post on NicoleBitchy.com. It's time for me to move on. And I was just talking about how I was just seeking something more purposeful and all these things. Like, sometimes I try to Google the internet to find bits and pieces of it just to, because it's been 8 years and it's crazy. That's a long time.
Right, right. And just thinking about, like I said, the journey that we are today, you know, where
we got to. And I even sometimes I'll search Twitter for Nicole Bitchy just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
And it's crazy the amount of people that's still mentioning the name Nicole Bitchy in tweets.
Wow. Like, and you came in and changed the game.
It's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm trying to embrace. There was a period of time where you couldn't mention Nicole Bitchy to me. I didn't want to talk about that time period. I almost like I wanted to erase it from my.
Yeah.
But it's all a part of who I became. Without Nicole Bitchy, there wouldn't have been X on Nicole. Without X on Nicole, I probably wouldn't have my happy flow. So it's a part of the journey.
It's a part of the journey.
So I'm embracing it. Yeah.
Season three. I love it. Okay, so we are at X on Nicole at this point. What is the emotions? What is the feeling? How did you rebuild this company? Because X on Nicole, from my perception, grew a little bit bigger than Nicole Bitchy. Is that correct? Or
I felt like Nicole Bitchy was bigger because it was such a cultural. I think it was just a part of the culture, man.
Okay.
It was something very special. Yes, it was. And Nicole, X on Nicole was a hard thing because at the time everybody was so into celebrity news and gossip. And here I go trying
being
to have
positive.
A website with positivity, wellness, talking about vaginas and relationships and beauty. Because I didn't know any other website out there that was marketing towards 18 to 34-year-old girls that was lifestyle, where we could actually talk about, like, what we actually was going through in life.
Right.
Like, Essence was out there, but it was skewing older at the time, 35 and up.
Yeah.
So it's like, where are we? Where's the young people going?
Right.
And so, yeah, I started X. I mean, I literally launched X on Nicole 6 weeks after closing down Nicole. Like, so I had no, I should have took a leap year
or something. I need a break.
Think you need time to just take a step back from entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And everything.
Yes.
And actually recalibrate. Like, am I going in the right direction or am I on autopilot to a destination I never chose? You know what I mean? Like, is where I'm at now in alignment with where I see my life in 5 to 10 years? Or if I want kids, a husband, what does that look like?
Yes.
How can I grow my business so that I can have these things? And I didn't do any of that.
There was no reset. It was
No reset, just going straight into another site, trying to keep my audience probably.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, jumped into that. 6 weeks later, we launched X on Nicole. I'm worn out at this point. Because I had to find all these writers.
Yeah.
I had to, you know, kind of figure out what the voice of the brand would be. How would we be different? I know people were watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know it was going to be a lot of criticism. It's like when you trying to go from a stripper to a preacher. It's
right.
Like,
it's
girl,
like, girl.
Okay.
We know.
How long this is
going. I remember.
And they always do that. When you transition a brand, they always be like, how long is this going to last?
Yeah, they think it's a phase. They don't think it's a transition.
Exactly. Yeah, so
you're like, this was it. I'm done. I'm ready to go. So we are in the X on Nicole at this point. So let's fast forward a little bit towards the end of the journey. So I think you made a post on social media that actually really stuck with me, because I was like, man, you talked about the end of the journey of X on Nicole and how you sold the business and all of that.
That wasn't even, and I want to be clear, that wasn't the end of the journey. I sold my business 2 years into having it.
Okay.
And I stayed on board for 5 years after that. So I think that's why it was. Some people sell their companies and they go on and do something else.
Yeah.
Or they may stay on a year. Like most people who sell their companies, they stay on a year or two just to
the transition. But you were still in
the business.
Exactly.
But I was in it. for another 5 years after I sold it.
What does that feel like? Because this used to be, like, I used to make all of the decisions. You got some for me, you know, but now you have a boss.
Yeah.
How did that feel in your own business?
It didn't feel good at all. And the thing is, like, Will and his team, Alex, they tried to make me as comfortable as possible. They tried to give me as much freedom as possible. Yeah. I don't think... They're such great people. They're probably some of the greatest people I ever met in my life. But I don't think they even knew what, like, this is the first time someone bought a site from like a blogger, right?
Yeah.
And tried to make it something.
Yeah.
So they didn't know what that would look like. Yeah. And I didn't either. And we didn't have a blueprint. But yeah, it felt like the salary felt constricting.
Yeah.
You know, it also felt, I did an interview with Terry Joma a few years ago, right as I was ending. I knew I was leaving XO Nicole that year.
Mm-hmm.
I cried all the way through that interview, but I kept saying, I got to get free.
Mm.
I kept saying it through the whole interview. When I would watch it back, I was like, I've said I got to get free at least 3 to 4 times.
It was in my spirit.
It was in my spirit.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I feel free now because I'm on the other side, but I felt... I will say that time in my life, I think I was a little bit more fearless. When I started Nicole Bitchy, I would jump off the ledge for my dreams.
Mm.
So any idea I had, I didn't care about.
If you're over here on YouTube watching the podcast, listen, I need you to do me a favor. If you love me, do me this favor. Pull out your phone right now and go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts or anywhere that you actually listen to podcasts at, right? I need you to subscribe and leave a review. Listen, the way podcasts work is the streets don't know we doing good if it's not on the audio version. The YouTube version don't really count, okay? So go over there, leave us a review, and let us know how much you love the podcast. Now back to the episode.
Failing.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you come from the bottom.
Yeah.
It's like,
where I'm going to go? Back?
Exactly. And so I had ideas. I would jump off the ledge for those ideas. I would go, you know, go to an event, interview a celeb backstage, go home, transcribe it. It's up on the website the next day. I'm hustling. I'm grinding. I think when you go from that to now, you got to run your ideas past people.
Mm.
You got to get their input.
Yeah.
You got to hear, how are we going to get the money for this? Or are we going to bring a sponsor in or whatever? It slows you down.
Yes. And so it kills the momentum of the creativity.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It does. And then you start second guessing yourself.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm not as open online as I used to be. Like, I used to be so transparent as a blogger and on my social media. And I used to take people behind the scenes and it almost quieted, suppressed my voice. And I became like,
what do you feel like? Why? Like, do you feel like you would ever get back to that point? Or you feel like, I just don't like y'all in my business no more?
Because I wasn't happy, but I don't, if I'm in the moment telling people I'm in an acquisition. It's a place that a lot of people, business owners want to get to.
Yeah.
But I'm not happy. Then they'll start looking at like, they would think I have something against Will Packer, which I did not.
Right.
Like I said, that man is amazing.
Right, right.
And he's the reason why the brand is still running today.
Yes.
It was a lot of conflict. I didn't have a circle of people to turn to. My entrepreneur friends was looking at me like, you don't have the same struggles as us anymore.
Mm.
So I didn't fit there. And then I didn't know anyone who had sold a business before.
Yeah.
So it became very isolated. Like, it's the most depressing time in my entrepreneurial life. And you're conflicted because you're like, people would love to be in this position.
Yeah.
But you feel like you're ungrateful. Like, it was so many emotions.
A lot of emotions because I don't know. Who am I supposed to talk to about this? No one.
Exactly.
Y'all keep saying y'all understand, but you don't understand.
At all.
You know what I'm saying?
And because you got to lead a team while you're going through.
And I still got to go to work.
And and still have to lead a team. And I wish I had had a therapist, an executive coach, a business coach or something to help me transition through that time.
Yeah.
And to help me get through that time. So it was a lot.
And you talked about in that post, you talked about no one really talks about the heartbreak from business. Like how when I sold my business, but that broke my heart. Like I had to grow from that.
Yeah. And then I left it last September.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times when we grow business, and I see you doing it now with your coworkers, mm-hmm. and like we build community with our business. Like we build businesses different than white people. Yes. They go in, they raise money. They launch the business with a whole bunch of money. Yes. They sell the business, they rinse and repeat.
Yes.
We're so community focused.
Yes.
And so we want to lift our community up. We want to build communities. So when we leave a brand, we're leaving that community behind. That's heartbreaking.
That hurt.
Yeah. Or even your team.
Yes.
That's the most heartbreaking thing, having to leave the team. So I left last September, but there was no Zoom call. And like, I feel like, well, I'm sure they knew they had an inkling I was leaving, but I feel like they found out officially when everybody else found out when the press release went out.
So when you left, you made the decision to leave, but it wasn't like, okay, my 5 years is up, it's time to go. You just was like, I need to be free. Yeah.
Well, my original contract was 2 years.
Okay.
But, no, 3 years. But the third year was during the pandemic.
Mm.
And, like, I didn't have a plan of what I was going to do. Right. Like, that year really messed us all up.
Yes.
And it would have been so perfect, you know, but that year messed us up. So I signed on for another 2 years so I can have time to figure it out. But yeah, a lot of things happened in my last year at EXO. Just change in people we were bringing in the brand, and the brand started looking and feeling and
different.
The tone was different. The values, the morals were different. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like it's hurting me to see the shift in this brand. And I didn't feel valued that last year either. Like I had a voice in what was happening. And so, yeah, I was like, I gotta depart, you know, but in the best way possible. I wish everyone love and peace. And I still love my team and everybody that was over there, but yeah.
I love that. So before we go into this next season 3 of our life, we have a segment on the show called What is the Best Advice That You've Gotten as a CEO? So I'm super excited to hear about this. So what has been the best advice that you have gotten as a CEO?
The best advice. That's a good one. I really don't know. I think for me, just when you starting a business, I think get on bench.co or one of these, get those books together ASAP.
Yes.
Because you do not want, we talked about the IRS thing earlier, but really have your books together.
Yes.
Like that is, and as you're growing, making sure you bring on, whether it's a fractional CFO, whether it's like just really knowing what your team is going to look like as you start expanding and scaling your business. I also see a lot of entrepreneurs, we start off as creatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then as this business starts shifting into a business, we start outsourcing everything we love to do.
Yeah.
So we're looking around and everybody around us doing what we love.
Yes.
And we're doing what we hate, which is the hiring, the managing.
Yes. Right.
Like, I don't even like these people.
Wait.
You're like, how did I get here? Yes, I'm not even spending my time doing the things that I really love.
Right,
and so
right.
I think it's very important. That's why I see so many. I have seen such an influx of entrepreneurs going back to work.
It's
like the entrepreneur pool, everybody jumping out
of it. Right. Because it's like, because on the thing that we realize is that as an entrepreneur, it's not just about the craft, right? How many times did you get to write on the blog as you was the CEO?
Man, listen.
Like, it's not about that anymore.
Yeah.
It's about running the business. But what if I really don't like running a business?
And that's the thing. I've come to the conclusion. I used to be I'm a boss. I'm a CEO. I don't want to be a CEO.
Yeah.
I don't want to run my business.
Yeah.
I want to be the founder.
Yes.
I want to be the visionary. I want to tell the team what the vision is and hire people to execute the vision.
Yes.
But I don't want to be a CEO.
And that's okay.
That is okay.
I think people need to get to that conclusion a lot faster.
Absolutely.
So then they can start positioning themselves in the right place, because it's like, if I know that I don't want to be the CEO, that's not my skill set. If I keep forcing myself in this box that is not me, then I'm doing the business a disservice and us.
Man, listen, and your team can tell when you're kind of like clocked out. I did something called soul coaching. I talk about it sometimes. People are like, what? But it was like coaching me on what my soul's desires were.
Yeah.
Like if I looked ahead 5 years from now, how did I want to spend my days? what did I want my life to look like?
Yeah.
And once I figured that out, what does my business look like day to day? How do I make sure I can open up room for that? Like, I will say, you've invited me on a few times, but I was in a season. I just came off of a year break.
So I was going to ask you that.
I didn't do much of anything. I did the bare minimum to run my business.
Yes.
Over the last year. And I'm grateful we doubled the revenue from the year before, yes, but it's because of setting up systems,
yes,
automations, making sure you have a fulfillment center to mail your product out. But yeah, I took a year off, and I can say I was privileged enough to do that. A lot of people can't, like,
Vex.
But I needed to take myself out of the hustle, the grind, the survivor mode, and be like making sure I am going in the direction I need to be to have the life I want to live.
You know, and I think that's important. That's why I wanted to ask you that, because I remember you said during the transition of Nicole Beachy to the XO Nicole, you was like, I wish I would have took a break.
I wish I had.
But this is your time. You got to take a break.
Oh, my God. And it was the best thing I could have done for myself ever. Yes. Yeah, like, you just got to, sometimes we got to get off that hamster wheel.
Period.
Yeah, because, you know, as every time I started, I just saw Dame Dash talking about he didn't call himself rich broke, but he was just basically saying how he started a new company with no capital or whatever. He's not making the money he used to make before. And I think he brought this up because of a child support, and his child support is based off of when he was doing $8 million a year.
Yeah.
But that's the reality. Every time you start a new business fresh over, I'm in a whole new industry.
Yes.
I'm not even in media anymore. I'm in the supplements business. And then you got to find the money to finance this thing.
Okay.
It's like, it's peaks and valleys.
Yes. Ups and downs.
And you can hit if you're not planning correctly, you can definitely hit some very low lows as you're transitioning from industry to industry or
and
company
this is
to
new.
Company.
Like, first of all, this supplement industry requires inventory.
Oh, my
goodness.
It requires
a different level of market. It's different than what it was. So how did you make that transition? Like, what did that look like for you? What was one of the most pivotal moments for you as you transitioned into this industry?
For me, first, it was actually, like, getting the actual calling to do this. Because there was so many women around me that women in their 30s diagnosed with fibroids and being recommended hysterectomies. Mm-hmm. Like, and these are people who wanted kids.
Yeah.
And my mom passed from breast cancer. I lost both my parents before the ages of 41 and 42. Mm-hmm. I have no living grandparents. And it was all health-related issues that were preventable if we had the education.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like God placed it on my spirit. You need to launch this holistic health company, and you're going to heal women naturally through vitamins and, you know, and supplements. And, I mean, gave me, like, I kind of knew the ingredients and everything. Almost when people say something came to me in a dream and a vision, this came to me in a vision.
Yeah.
And so I did that in 2021. It was 3 months after I was on the phone with the COO at Willpacker, and I'm bawling, crying. And I was like, I'm not happy, but there's nothing you could do to make me happy. Yeah. Like, I got to figure out what makes me happy. And so, it came to me, and I was like, okay. And the thing is, at the time, I had imposter syndrome because I didn't have any certifications at the time. I don't have doctor in front of my name.
Right.
And I used to be a celebrity blogger. So I was like, who's going to believe me?
Right.
But I always say this quote, you know, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call.
Exactly.
And he called me to do this. Yes. And so I had the idea September, this product was in customers' hands.
Wow. You like, here we go.
Yeah, go. And then, you know, it was in customers' hands, and I waited a month because I'm waiting on testimonials.
Yeah.
You know, and those testimonials started coming in. And to date, we've had so many women that they were scheduled for hysterectomies, and then they write in and say, I no longer have to get the hysterectomy, or I was scheduled to get my ovaries removed. I no longer have to get the ovaries removed.
Wow.
Or I was on a wait list for a hysterectomy, and I just found out I'm pregnant. Like, you helped me not only save my life, but you helped me create a new one.
Life.
Like, man, that's so beautiful. It goes beyond just periods. Like, we promote it as a brand to help women have better periods, but it's doing, since your, honestly, a lot of women don't know this, but your period is your first, it's like a marker into your overall health. Mm. So it's your first sign if there's like fibroids present, if there's cancers developed, you know, the symptoms. Like, yeah. So all the symptoms we thought were normal, heavy,
right,
pain,
right,
moods.
Yes.
No, that's signs that we have hormonal imbalances that if we leave them unaddressed, they can lead to.
And nobody talks to you about it?
Nobody.
Nobody told you, like, us. You're supposed to be a pain girl. Get a heat.
Yeah, like from the time we were teens, yes, we were told it was normal, not knowing. And now 80% of Black women will be diagnosed with fibroids before the age of 50. Wow. That's a solid epidemic.
Yes, and nobody's talking about
Nobody's talking about it. So that's why I was like, my happy flow is so much more purposeful than any of the companies I think I've ever launched. And I can't wait to see how we grow it and what it means. But I will say sometimes, like I got on TikTok, you know, a friend of mine was sending me a TikTok brand recently, and the girl is selling thousands, tens of thousands of hormone balance, like tea or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was sending it to me like almost like an idea. Well, why don't you get on TikTok and do this and that and go viral?
Yeah.
I'm trying to build a brand that goes beyond something that goes viral.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you like are on like the TikTok and you have your viral moments, people purchase from you.
Right.
But they don't even remember the name of your company.
Yes. Exactly.
I done bought three things on TikTok over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I can't tell you what that company.
It's probably still sitting in a box somewhere.
I can't tell you what the company stands for, what their mission is, what they're doing outside of me buying that product.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm challenged with right now, and that's why it's so important to take breaks and so important to carve out your own lane, because you'll start chasing what everybody else is doing.
Yep.
It was important for me to just sit back and be like, how do I want to best grow this company? And in a way that supports my goals and dreams and what I personally want for my life.
Yes. First of all, I love that. I love the thought. Do you ever just sit back and think like, all of this came from me being a gossip blogger? This is crazy. Like, I went from being sued by Beyonce to saving lives, baby. This is crazy.
It's so funny because I will say this, like, I knew God had to take me through every, like, yes. I wanted to disregard the first season, but God had to take me through. First of all, he gave me a gossip blog to create a platform for myself and a following.
Yes.
So back then I used to joke and say, I used to say this all the time, especially when it was time for me to transition. I was like, I'm giving you junk food, but I really want to give you the vitamin. Mm. It's so crazy that I have a vitamin lie, right?
Yes, yes. When and then I used to say that. To XO Nicole and y'all started talking more about vaginas.
Exactly.
And then here we go. You know, so it was seeding. I think a lot of times God seeds the end goal.
Absolutely.
Throughout crazy. Your journey. Yes. Insane. I love that. I love that. So I know that this new business, this is your new baby. Mm-hmm. But what do you think is, or what has been a Ghetto CEO story or journey or piece of this new journey that you're on?
Whew, I will say this. We don't talk enough about how unaddressed traumas spill over into not just our personal life, but our business. Mm. And I feel like in 2021 and 2022, I had both businesses, My Happy Flow and XO Nicole. And I felt like I had chaos in both businesses. Mm. And I feel like my unaddressed traumas was causing the chaos. So a big thing I have is from losing parents so early and everybody in my family is fear of abandonment, fear of losing people.
Yeah.
Or fear of somebody taking something from me.
Yeah.
So people, I think me selling a business is different than a lot of people because my businesses became my babies. They were my family and the community that came with the businesses. Right. So me selling XO Nicole and then not feeling like I had control over if it was going to ever be taken away from me. If I was seeing CEOs or brand founders getting fired from their businesses left and right, you know, from Sophia, from Girl Boss.
Yes.
I seen Zim from Travel Noir. Get and I'm like,
wait a minute.
And so, but what that resulted in was me overworking and scared to surround myself or hire people around me that were better than me because I didn't want to be replaceable.
Ooh.
And honestly, the goal as a CEO probably is to be replaceable.
Yeah, you already said you didn't want to be the CEO.
Exactly. But I wanted to, so I'm overworking and doing all the jobs.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to be easily replaced. Mm. And so, and then in my second business, my Happy Flow, like I started the brand and I had asked a friend of mine, would she come, because I didn't want to run another brand by myself. So I want a co-founder. Like this got to get easier, because I was seeing people, they had companies and they were able to be the face of their brand because they had other co-founders that were doing other jobs that they were good at. And so bringing a friend along, and within the first 6 to 8 weeks, I'm seeing that we got different visions. Mm. I'm protective over my vision. You know, my fear of something being taken from me or not.
You like.
So there was just so much chaos and me not knowing conflict resolution, and I didn't really have the appropriate leadership skills. Again, I'm a visionary. I was a talent for so long.
Yeah.
And so I think this year helped me take a step back and look at all of those different situations from a different lens. But again, also learn the skill sets I needed to be successful in those different businesses. So I know it's not like the most ghetto thing, but
that was actually ghetto.
Those 2 years was just like, I'm over this.
Yes, a transition. Because I tell people all the time, you got to heal first, because it shows in your business every single day.
It does. And
every single day.
And you have to have a solid foundation. And honestly, a lot of what the skills I learned through dating. I started dating and focusing on my personal life during my time off. And so now
you
outside.
Oh, I was like city girl, Nicole.
So I had to learn conflict resolution in dating, like accountability.
Yes.
How to, like, if there's a conflict, how to approach it.
Yes.
The sandwich method, like being, you know, respectful and all those things. So it was a beautiful, this last year has been such a beautiful part of my journey, because I feel human for the first time. Mm. Sometimes when you're running a business and you're go, go, go and grind, you feel like a robot.
Yes.
And you feel a little inhuman.
Right. Like, all right.
It don't feel soft. Yeah. Like, you know how people be like soft life or.
Give me a business that's soft. This is don't feel soft. But yes, I get it. I was not in my soft girl era, but now I'm trying to step into it.
Yeah. And it was incredible. So this year it was, now I'm back doing the podcast and I'm back like, oh my God. I will tell you, I ran the business very lean, because the more people I have on the team, the more stressed out I be.
Yes. Right. Because then, I mean, also, you've identified, like, I don't want to be the CEO, so let me get this to the points that I can now either hire a CEO and they be.
Yeah,
the
I don't want to be a CEO. Yeah. I don't. And like you said, I love that you were like, and that's okay.
And that's all right.
Yeah.
Like, that is completely fine. But I'm excited to continue, for us to continue to watch season 3 of this amazing Netflix series.
Absolutely. Because I do want to raise money, because that's how you raise your valuation, but that's how you get your product in as many hands as possible. Mm-hmm. But you can't have a conversation about raising money without knowing you have to exit to raise, like, your investors want, you know. Yeah. So we were having all these conversations about the lack of funding available to Black women and the lack of, you know, women getting VC funds and investors. But then the part of the conversation that was missing was, if you take the money, you're probably going to exit in the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
You gotta like leave. No investor wants you to be like, oh, I'm going to
be here forever.
Yeah, I'll be here forever. They're like, how am I going to get my money back?
Right.
So I'm so glad. I think I saw, like, Courtney was on your podcast. Yes. I'm so glad. What's her name from Mayel?
Monique. Yes.
That opened up the discussions about what exits look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the guy from Bevel sold his brand, Tristan Walker. So we're seeing more and more brands being, there's so many brands that have gotten investment dollars over the last 2 or 3 years, because Rich Dennis started investing in everybody. You got the Fearless Fund.
Right.
You're going to see all those brands exiting
in a couple years.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they got to. I mean, that's the name of the game. That's the name of the game. You can take my money, so, but you got to give it back.
Yeah, so we have to have more conversations around what it means to raise money.
Yeah.
And what it means to exit. The only other option, if you don't exit, is to go public. The only black woman I know that's ever gone public on the stock market is Kathy Hughes from Radio One. Mm-hmm. She has Interactive One,
yes.
TV One. Yep. But I don't know of any other black women that's really gone public with their business. No, and it's just a lot of like, it's a lot.
It's a lot of, and you got to kind of figure out what's the line for you, right? Because
absolutely.
You've exited a business before. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, is My Happy Flow something you want to keep? You know, yeah. For a little while. Like, I ain't got to be CEO, yeah. But I just
want to. I will say, I don't want people to take this the wrong way, but I was going to use the word detached. Mm-hmm. I'm not as attached to My Happy Flow. I'm attached to the mission, but as a brand, I'm not as attached as I was to other brands because I know what it takes to build to grow this the way I need to. I know business now. I didn't know business my first two business.
But I think that's a great acknowledgement, y'all. Like, I could be attached to the mission, but I don't have to be attached to the vehicle that is getting me to
absolutely.
The mission.
Absolutely.
I could be selling supplements or I could be selling the app. I could still be serving the same mission.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for me, it's just more the education behind our menstrual cycles, hormone health, et cetera, is way more important to me than holding on to a brand so tight.
Yeah.
Because there are times where people build things, but if they don't exit at the right moment, that lane becomes filled. Somebody else got way more coins than you have, can do way more than you have. And you go from, I've seen businesses raise over hundreds of millions of dollars and then only sell for like 61 million. Mm-hmm. And so a couple people ain't getting their money back.
Right.
Because they didn't sell at the right moment.
At the right time.
And so now the brand is like, they don't know what to do with the brand and mm-hmm. it's losing its value by the day.
Yeah.
So you have to exit at the right time as
well. It's an art to it.
It is.
No, this was good. I hope you guys got a lot of value from this conversation. We talked about the highs, the lows, the ups, the downs, the exits, the entrance, all of the things, right? But I hope you guys got a lot of value from this conversation with Nicole. And if you are loving the Ghetto CEO podcast, make sure you are like, commenting, and subscribing. And if you need a community to lean into you, then make sure you join us in the co-workers community because we missing you in your city, okay? I'll see you guys on another episode of the Ghetto CEO podcast. Bye, y'all.